You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Welcome to A Biblical Response. In this hour, we invite you to take a journey with us to the heart of some of the hot-button issues of our day. What is behind these issues? How are Christians supposed to respond to them? Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." So join us now as we bring God's word to bear on the narratives and the news that threaten our peace and cast darkness on our land.
Well, welcome to A Biblical Response, and where we look through the lens of the Bible at issues going on in our world today, and what does the Bible say about how we deal with them?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. We have two co-hosts in the studio and one at a distance. Ann Limhoko.
Good morning.
Good to see you.
And I want to say Christmas Eve. Happy Christmas Eve. Merry
yes.
Christmas Eve to all our listeners.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Keith Masters, our street witness brother. Wow.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be here.
It is. It's always a pleasure working with all of y'all. And Stephanie Jacobson, welcome.
Thank you. Merry Christmas from Gulf Shores, Alabama.
Hallelujah. That's a great part of the country, actually. And I'm just going to move, I'm going to invite Ann to introduce our theme today. Mm-hmm. I will say, and we get together the day before and we discuss what we're going to be talking about. We pray about it. We want to really be on point with the Lord on these issues. And yesterday, a little atypical for us is we were, wallowing in uncertainty. Maybe it's not the best way to say it, but as sometimes happens, you get a topic you need to explore in the Lord, and it's big.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we finally kind of narrowed it down and all of that, and Ann is going to present what we were talking about. And you'll know why I'm saying this when you hear the topic. But
mm-hmm.
And we're also at the bottom of the hour, which for those of you not in radio lingo, it's 11:30 or thereabouts. When we come back from that break, we're going to open the phone lines. You may want to call in and have a comment or a question. So with that, Ann, would you introduce to us our listeners the topic?
My pleasure. Thank you. So we want to kind of piggyback from what we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
For our listeners who were listening last week, we talked about how the Satanic Temple unveiled a statue, and the statue was unveiled on public property outside the New Hampshire State House in Concord, Massachusetts.
Mm.
And this was an evil statue. It featured a robe Baphomet. And
right.
For people who don't know what a Baphomet is, it's like a kind of a goat-headed, human-bodied figure that's prevalent in many occults. And before the Satanic Temple members unveiled this, they proclaimed, "Hail Satan,"
mm-hmm.
just pure evil. And they put this Baphomet statue, these Satanic members, temple members, next to a nativity, a Christmas nativity featuring Mary, Joseph, and our baby Jesus. And these evil displays are actually happening, and it's been happening for years now, and it's just getting more prevalent. I said last week that this is also happening in Minnesota. This happened 2 years ago in Illinois. Last year, it happened in Iowa. So what we want to do is kind of, the topic we're going to explore today is going to piggyback off of what we believe is a movement where the secular world is trying to basically get rid of Christ in Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And we're calling it a war on Christmas.
Yes.
That's our topic for today. And that's actually not a term that we have dubbed. It's actually a term that's already out there. There's books written on a war on Christmas that we've discovered.
Mm-hmm.
And what we talked about last week is these religious displays, you know, like atheists and Satanists. Are they permitted to do something like that under the First Amendment? We had great conversation last week.
We had a discussion about that.
Yeah, and we got some callers to call in,
we
too.
We did, yeah.
And gave us great feedback. But what we want to talk about today is the war on Christmas. And we hope to engage in some of that same banter that we did last week in that same vein.
Yeah.
So what is the war on Christmas? So basically, what we believe it is, it's a movement where we have been seeing this country, and not only our country, this is happening very and greatly greater amounts, I should say, or greater intensity in Europe. I know you talked about that as we're preparing for the show, and Great Britain especially, where they're trying to take out Christ out of Christmas and turn Christmas into mainly a secular holiday, which makes no sense. You know, it's a, and you're going to talk about this later.
Yeah.
It's, and I'm looking at David, it is a attack straight out from the enemy to get rid of Christ out of Christmas that he did from the very beginning. Remember with Herod that we talked about on the call, Keith?
Yeah,
why don't you
right.
say that really quickly? What you said on.
So that's the initial attack on Christ, right? The initial attack on Christ and trying to destroy Jesus or trying to kill Jesus right at the onset of his birth.
Yep.
Right at the onset of his birth. And it's continued on ever since, generation after generation.
That's right. And we have to say, for people living today, especially those that are not biblically focused, that don't study the word, to see the history of the Israelites, the Jesus people, and the journey that they had, you know, the struggles they had when they turned away from God. And of course, the devil's right there. If you want to turn
Very
away from God, if you're ready to do that,
the
temptations are there. They're numerous. Because the devil, of course, knows he can't destroy God or the things of God. He can't destroy Jesus. He tried, you know, he tried to kill him. That would be the ultimate attempt. And of course, it didn't work because Jesus is God. But he continues, because the devil is the epitome of insanity, which the best definition is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. And we think the devil is clever, but he's not clever enough to figure out that he's doing. He's not going to win.
No.
Yeah, and we need to really let our listeners know there is a war on Christmas. Like, we cannot bow. One of the things I've seen over the years is they want to replace Merry Christmas with Happy Holidays, which I don't even like to say.
No.
Because Christ is the reason why we have Christmas.
Yes.
And Happy Holidays. I'm not looking to cater to non-Christians. Or I saw a story this morning, Europe is trying to cater to their Muslim population. So they have a big war on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So no, we have to stand up, and we'll talk about this more at the end of the hour.
You know, July 4th is a holiday, right? We celebrate that as a holiday.
Yes, we do.
Christmas is a celebration and the birth of Jesus.
Yes, frankly.
So to say Happy Holidays, it doesn't even fit. It's a celebration. It's joy.
Yeah.
You know, and we have that. And we have that right here with the birth of Jesus. Jesus is hope, love, and redemption.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Mm-hmm. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that is the hope, that is the love, and that is the redemption right there in the Gospel of Matthew. Go ahead, Stephanie.
Sorry to cut in on you guys here, but the war on Christmas, the bigger picture of all of it, it's the war on Christ.
Yes.
Right.
Perfectly said, Stephanie.
Mary, you know, Mary, it's really interesting because Christ's birth is the greatest pro-life story ever told.
Amen.
And Mary would have been, even before Jesus was born, Mary would have been, in the sight of the pro-choice culture today, a perfect criteria for an abortion. She was a single mother.
Mm.
She was young. She was poor. I mean, all these things. But Christ had hidden his son inside of a woman by Holy Spirit. I mean, he was incarnate. And by Holy Spirit. And even the enemy had no idea what his plan was. That's the beauty of it.
That's right.
The enemy did not have any idea what God's plan was. But
amen.
Glory to God in the highest.
Yes.
Praise God.
Those words were spoken, weren't they?
There's
that war was real. It the enemy knew he had to do something.
Amen.
And so the plotting and the planning and Herod and all that then came about.
There's a core scripture that I'm going to read from Matthew that Jesus told his disciples, and he gave them a warning, mm-hmm. and that warning has been transmitted down through the ages, really, as we read the scriptures ourselves, as the Spirit leads us, because the very foundation of the church, his body of Christ, as he was alive and he was bringing the disciples together. This is in Matthew chapter 10, in verse 22. You will be hated by everyone because of me.
Mm.
And that won't be the only time that he brought that up, I'm sure. You will be hated because of me. Jesus is saying to his disciples. Now, he said that then, but he's saying that to us now.
It's very much prevalent now, right?
It is. Well, that is true.
The timeless words of God.
Yeah.
Timeless words of God. And, of course, he is referencing that the devil's behind that hate because that's his stock and trade. So because the devil hasn't gone away and we're still now over 2,000 years from the beginnings of the church, it's still true. So he's saying to us today, you will be hated because of me.
Mm-hmm.
What I call you to do, what I call you to be, and they're hating Jesus now. He says, don't take it personal. But the point is it explains why such subjects as the war on Christmas is being discussed, is to point to the fact that the devil hates anyone that loves God and is loved by God, Jewish or Christian. And so that explains why we are looking today at, because it's not just them, the secular realm, trying to take out Christmas. It comes right on us. You know, there are times
it's an attack strictly on us personally,
yes. As believers, the church as a whole and us individually. And anytime, like when I go into a store, you know, and I get the happy holidays, the secular religion commentary, you know, and I don't go against the person saying it. They were told. In fact, the corporate entities that run that business told them not to say Merry Christmas.
Right.
And many are burdened by that. But I will just respond and thank you, and you have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we are faced with a lot of decisions where you have to make a decision. Are you going to cater to what the world wants you to do, or are you going to fear God more than fear man? This is what happened to me when I worked for 20 mm-hmm. years for a member of Congress,
mm-hmm.
and then they wanted to make it mandatory to take this COVID vaccine. And in prayer, the Lord was clear to me, and I'm not saying others who choose differently.
Mm-hmm.
This is a personal decision.
Yeah.
This was for me. And I said no. And it was basically after getting a religious exemption, they took it away and I lost my job after 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to stand up knowing that the Lord was telling me to stay strong through that.
Amen.
And that reminds me of that verse you just gave with
mm-hmm.
those
10.
Hating, you know, they will hate us.
Mm-hmm.
It also reminded me of James 1:12. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For mm-hmm. when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him.
Amen.
So it's very clear in the word, we are going to face trials and we Amen. Are going to face hate.
Before we launch into and develop another point, let's take a break.
Okay.
We shall return.
I'm Mindy Molina, investment advisor rep, licensed insurance agent, and fiduciary. From protecting your investments to not overpaying in taxes, financial concerns make up a long list of topics, and I can't wait to cover them all. I'll have expert guests, including CPAs and estate attorneys, and bring you insight you can benefit from. Listen in to The Mindy Molina Show every Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Welcome back to a Biblical Response, and our topic for today is the war on Christmas, and we've seen several elements of this in the news, not just now, but gosh, going back many, many years.
Yes.
And where the secular world doesn't want to deal, and of course, as we'd said, it's really a war on Jesus.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So Stephanie wanted to bring up some more examples where it's evidenced today.
Yes. So back when I was a kid, there was a real push to take Christ out of Christmas. Mm. And so they started using the letter X to use for Christ or instead of Christ. And when I was doing some research, I used to think that was, well, they're trying to X Christ out of Christmas. Well, that's not really the truth. X comes from the Greek letter, and it's either chi or ki. I'm not sure how to pronounce that, but it says
chi.
That it's the first letter of the Greek word Christos, which it's just funny because when the enemy tries to pull and make people think one thing, I mean, it was my own thought, so I obviously need to take those thoughts captive. But as a child, you look at it and it's like they're crossing it out. Why would they do that?
Mm.
But in further research, and it's good to do further research, and
yes,
you know, not to take what we say for granted here. Mm-hmm. Go do your own research in your scriptures and see what the Holy Spirit has to say to you. But that is not true. The X comes from the Greek, which is the first letter of the Greek word Christos, which I think is really interesting. It also means anointed, covered in oil. And of course, our Lord is the oil, the balm that comes and gives us hope, right?
Amen. I think the problem with Xmas is that no one goes beyond looking at the word and saying, oh, that saves me time over writing, you know, that. So yes, they don't go the deep like we're doing today to know that there actually is a positive meaning. And the other thing, which kind of makes me laugh, we've talked about this before, is that, and I'm speaking now of the folks that stand against Jesus and his people. And you know, one of the topics we're going to keep hitting on is abortion issues and all of that. But I go back to how many people I've had conversations with who were pro-choice, and they would say that inside that woman is not a baby, it's a fetus, right?
Yeah.
That's the operative word that the pro-choice people throw at you until you go back to the root again, like we did.
Yeah.
You know that the word fetus comes from the Latin, which basically translates into new life or new beginnings.
That's right.
So it's like, that really, you know, when you tell them that, the crickets start, you know. But I love the way God turns, you know, the devil just, what is it the scriptures say is what the devil meant for evil, God means for good.
Yeah.
And the devil really can't make any plans without God knowing what they are and how to turn them around.
Yep.
But I don't want to go too far afield, but getting back to the point.
Can I get into some statistics? Because I did
you do that?
And this is an interesting statistic that I learned yesterday. Half of U.S. adults, so technically 52%, say it doesn't matter to them whether they're greeted with Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays while doing their holiday shopping. And this is according to a 2017 Pew Research report. And that's like 7 years ago. So if that's at 52%, I wonder if that's even, I couldn't find anything more recent than 2017 with that statistic.
Yeah.
But that's sad.
They didn't care. They didn't
Might
care
be a little more.
That's sad.
I got to tell you something. When I go into a store personally and someone says Happy Holidays, I cringe inside.
Mm.
And I know they've either been told that they can't say Merry Christmas or that they shouldn't say Merry Christmas or, you know, or might be a personal thing as well. But my personal self inside, and I know it's Holy Spirit talking to me, and it's not to hate them.
No.
But it's to say back to them, Merry Christmas.
That's
and
what I do,
give them
Stephanie.
An opportunity then.
That's what I do.
If they want to say Merry Christmas to me, they can.
And sometimes they look at you and they're shocked. But all I just say with love is Merry Christmas. I don't I don't go back and fall into that Happy Holidays.
So President Obama stopped saying Christmas on his Christmas card, the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm. That's sad. Yeah.
For 8 years, right? He mm-hmm. sent out his Christmas card, and it never said Christmas on the Christmas card.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. where did this start? Where mm-hmm. did this start?
I think it started before him, but he mm-hmm. was such a out there president.
He was right.
That was so anti-Christmas. Yes, which is anti-Christ.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Christmas, right, Christmas has Christ in the word.
Yes. Yeah.
Yes, it does. So when you say Christmas.
Yeah.
Well, it's a celebration of Christ.
It's a celebration of Christ.
And that's what that holiday's about. It's not a secular holiday as far as, like, it's all about shopping. It's all about, you know, we are celebrating the celebration of the birth of Jesus.
Amen.
And for the longest time, you know, most of the world, most of the, let's say, Christian world, they had no issue with celebrating Christmas.
I know.
But later on, I'll be...
Well, they're merging the holiday with Hanukkah, right? They're merging the holiday with Hanukkah. Right. They're merging the celebration with Hanukkah. Hanukkah, and this year Hanukkah falls on Christmas.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. I just looked it up.
It's a research thing that we're doing.
Because,
yeah,
because that's why they wanted to merge it, because Hanukkah is separate from the from Christmas. So... this is one of the first years that Hanukkah and Christmas are together.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting how that is.
It is.
I don't know if over time there's been an intentional, because the holidays merge.
Yeah.
I mean, they're fairly close.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but the fact they fall together, you know, that's intriguing to me.
Yeah.
You know, and, well, God wants us. And here's the other thing is, you know, we celebrate our Jewish brothers and sisters. We love them.
Yeah.
We're to support them. God expects us to do that. And so, you know, to honor and recognize they have important holidays as well.
Yeah.
And I believe one day they will celebrate the birth of Christ.
I believe
also,
that too. The Bible's clear on that.
The Bible is clear on that.
Very clear on that. I actually have been studying because a listener who listens to our Frontline show, because Dave and mm-hmm. I do Frontline on Mondays, he sent me a whole packet on the Jewish feast. Mm. And I've been studying those Jewish feasts. And I don't know if that listener's listening now, but it's wonderful, from George Warnock. And it talks about how there's an Old Testament type of the Jewish festival that is actually reflecting a New Testament, what was the word I'm looking for? A New Testament belief or a New Testament concept. Like the Passover is speaking of Jesus as the Lamb of God.
Amen.
You know what
Amen.
I mean?
Yes.
It's beautiful. What were you going to say, Stephanie?
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking as you guys were talking. We're talking about, you know, the culture as it is today. But God provided for those before Christ to know who he was.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And not literally know, but there was prophecies and things in the Old Testament that spoke of him, not only his birth, but of his death in Psalms. David, man, that Psalm in David is amazing about the death of Christ. So there is, God has provided. Mm. That is the key here. I mean, no matter how many things that come against him, God has provided. We were talking about the Bible a couple of weeks ago. He's provided that it won't become null and void, because his word doesn't become null and voided. One of the songs that I've heard, we were talking about it yesterday a little bit, but we talked about this, but there was another part of it. It says, theologians have pondered it for 20 centuries, but children understand it. So you take the theologians and you take a child, and that theologian knows so much about the Bible, and you know, we just marvel at how they can be so learned, and yet God made a way for children to understand who he is. It is such a beautiful picture of just from birth to death that we can know him through, you know, even sitting by the ocean and looking at the ocean or the stars. And I mean, I could just cry because I know that he has made a way for those of us who are called according to his purpose to know who he is. So I just thought that was so good that the children and the theologians as well know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
I love that, Stephanie. Thank you. And that That speaks to my heart, because at the end of the day, after all these things have been talked about and concerns have been aired, you know, and we're trying to find our own balance in all of this, is God. You know, if I, what did Jesus, one of his, I guess it was a parabolic statement, but it was talking to his disciples about, well, they were discussing who's the greatest in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And Jesus points to a child, you know, and here these guys think they're hot stuff because they're with the master, right?
Yeah.
You know, and they're learning and they can sense Holy Spirit's moving, and but they're really off base because they're thinking that it's going to be knowledge, it's going to be positioning, you know, all of this stuff. But the heart of it is, he points to the child.
Yeah.
And so to be childlike, not childish, but childlike, is to recognize that the faith of a child is is pure.
They believe without, you know,
yeah,
being marred with, as we get adults,
yes,
we get more, you know.
And they're so moldable, and that's why we have to be careful with what we teach our children. You know, there are parents that don't teach Santa Claus. Because my father, when he was a little boy, his mom was teaching him about Jesus. I mean, that was, you know, what she did. She was a Christian. And when he found out that Santa Claus was not real, he looked at her and said, it was really pretty, I don't know how old he was. He's probably 6, 7. He said, well, if Santa Claus isn't real, is Jesus real?
Mm. Wow.
And
he correlated those two. And so it's a real, you know, so you have to teach truth.
Yes.
And Saint Christopher, Saint Nicholas, or
yes,
he was a bishop.
He was a real person.
In the third century, fourth century,
yeah,
and he gave gifts to the families and the children.
Yes,
right.
Yes, that's what I taught my sisters and nieces and nephews.
Christmas is a very unique holiday. It is not just a holiday. It is a celebration. It's a celebration of
freedom.
You know, the unique, right? It's a celebration of the incarnation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. By way of the Holy Spirit, he was God in the flesh for the salvation of his people and the glory of his Father. I mean, there is no other purpose on earth but that. And all the wars that will come against him, he will prevail.
And Stephanie, he was God purposely, he was purposely born to die on the cross for our sins. His purpose for being born was to die on the cross for our sins.
Amen.
And this is where we just, you know, we want to emphasize the birth of Jesus. And this is why we emphasize it, because he brings salvation. He brings salvation to the world. He redeems the world if you just come to him and invite him to.
Yeah, can I say this really quickly?
Amen.
I know we're going to a break. But in Luke 2, when Simeon finally gets to meet the Savior of the world, he was born to for that purpose. And this is what he says when he meets baby Jesus. And this is in Luke 2, verses 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. That's what we celebrate.
Amen.
A light of revelation to the Gentiles.
Amen.
Luke 2.
Amen.
Right.
And that's the heart of it. That's the heart of it right away.
Yeah.
And if you go back to the heart, then you'll be blessed and then you'll be edified.
And you can feel the joy. Feel the joy.
It is. It's the greatest joy is that I'm saved.
Amen.
Anyway, we have to take another break, so don't go away. We'll be right back.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Welcome back to A Biblical Response, and we are, as I promised in the beginning of the program, if you want to call in, you may do so. The number at the station is 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100, and they'll patch you into the studio. I've got the pot on the board already set up to receive your calls, if should you desire to do so. Prior to that, though, I was going to, this is just a thumbnail sketch. I mean, this is a very broad review in the history of the church concerning the celebration of Christmas. And so we start out, the early Christians, the first few centuries, it was not their custom to celebrate birthdays, much less the birth of Christ. I don't know what they did. You know, they must have had some acknowledgement, you know, but they did not, as a rule, celebrate birthdays. As time went on, and we see in medieval England, they did celebrate Christmas, and it was a 12-day festival. In fact, what is it, the 12?
There's 12 a Christmas, days of Christmas, my true lucky to
right,
me.
Right, yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. There's some little things hidden in that, too.
Yeah.
So they had a 12-day period, and we still, at many churches today, my denomination is one of them, that recognizes the Christmas season begins today. It runs through the 5th of January. The 6th of January, actually, in many church calendars, is called the Epiphany, and that's when we focus on the coming of the Magi to Jesus, when he was actually 2 years old.
Where the Puerto Ricans celebrate the Three Kings holiday on January 6th.
And so that's a very traditional holiday in many, many churches. Mm-hmm. But so by then, with medieval England, after about 1400 years, you begin to see that development of celebration of Christmas. Not that it didn't happen before then, but this is what I have. So in the 9th century, along the way, Christmas began to be celebrated in many places with a specific worship formula.
Got
or
it.
Liturgy is the word.
Yeah. I mean,
liturgy means the work of the people from the Greek. And so, although some will say, no, it's from the Latin. And I'll say, I don't really care. But anyway, not to split hairs. But so by the 9th century, and actually by the 3rd century, much of the church had gone public after the Constantinian toleration and were coming out of homes and into public buildings. It took a little while yet, but, you know, way by the 4th century or the 5th century, you really had church was in the public, in the buildings, and they had developed modes of worship, orders of worship to guide their approach. You know, every Sunday, they did meet on Sundays. That was a traditional day for Christians. Still is for the most part. But by the 9th century, a specific liturgy for Christmas was developed. And so now, moving into the modern day. 21st century, yes. Right now, here we are on the cusp of the very moment we're living in. Many denominations will be celebrating tonight, you know, Christmas Eve, and many will also, the churches traditionally will have a Christmas Day service.
You know, David, I didn't find too many. We were looking for that. My wife and I, we were online looking to see for the churches that were having celebrations on Christmas Day.
Really?
And we see a lot of them on Christmas Eve.
Yes.
So we're going to go to church this afternoon or tonight.
Yeah.
You know, but we didn't find any of the churches that were open for Christmas Day tomorrow, with the exception of the Catholic Church.
Right. And they,
the Catholic Church,
they have many a mass.
Anglican style churches.
Right.
Like the denomination I'm a part of is an Anglican based worship.
Okay.
So we would have many service. Anglican churches would have Christmas Day.
Okay.
But mostly Christmas Eve.
Right.
You know, in the church that when I was still in the Episcopal Church, particular place I was in, the emphasis was on Christmas Eve. We had three Christmas Eve services. And that's part of the reason, maybe, I know for myself, by Christmas Day, you know, you would go to bed very late and then you'd get up to get up. So a lot of times as clergy, you're giving clergy a break, you know.
If you're, or to be with family.
To be with family, yeah. You know. But yeah. Some that in the very traditional Christmas Day, you have it with regardless of the shape your clergy are in. You know, you just, they do say, but then you have fewer people coming because they've gone, and a lot of the reason is they want to get it done then so they can travel on Christmas Day and all of that. So there's a lot of reasons for that. But just to say, that's kind of a thumbnail sketch of the history. Now, just to convolute things a little bit, there's Orthodox churches around the world. There, when there was a break around the first millennium, thereabouts, someone will call and give me the exact dates, and that's fine. When the split between the East and the West, and they actually split, well, there's various opinions on that. The split was on the date of Easter, when you date Easter. So the West and the East had a difference of opinion. Well, of course, then that didn't end with that. There are other differences of opinion. But Orthodox communities in Europe, Africa, and the Middle East celebrate Christmas on January 7th, because they're using the calendar that was established by Julius Caesar, mm-hmm. not by the Gregorian, St. Gregory. The calendar we are on, really, the West is on that, the Gregorian calendar. The date of December 25th was chosen for Christmas because the sun was thought to be reborn at this time, symbolizing hope and renewal. And yes, early Christians co-opted pagan festivals.
They did, yeah.
For our own purposes. We did that.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm surprised pagans didn't take us to court back then. But, you know, anyway, so yeah, we did. So big deal. Some people say, I don't celebrate Christmas because it's a pagan holiday. I say, wait a minute. No, if you're a Druid and you're doing human sacrifices on December 25th, that's a pagan holiday.
Mm-hmm.
But we're celebrating the birth of Christ. You should do it every day.
And
right?
Well, it's not about the specific date.
Yeah.
They celebrate Passover. I mean, I don't know, you know, when the specific date of Passover was,
mm-hmm.
but they still celebrate Passover year after year.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah, you're not going to get everything to the exact, but it's the remembrance of the event itself.
Yeah.
And even Jesus went to this Passover celebrations,
yeah.
right? So with Christmas, it's the same thing, because I do have a couple of friends of mine that are getting technical. Well, you know, you're celebrating Christmas on December 25th, and it's not the real date. Well, right. It is the real date in my heart for what event occurred.
It's getting too legalistic. When
it's getting too legalistic.
It's not right.
It's the celebration of Jesus Christ, which is just, words can't speak.
I know.
Words can't speak, really.
Yeah.
And I have... not to get off the beaten path here, or to change your... Yeah, no, David, I didn't mean to take you
our
away
Our whole
from,
work in the Spirit is to get off whatever path we're
That's
on
right.
and go where God wants us. So,
we have... just something that, you know, 10 reasons why we celebrate Christmas. You know, to look at why we celebrate Christmas. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's December 25th or what date that they give it, but to celebrate it. And, you know, here's a couple of the reasons that we have. And one of them is the birth of Jesus Christ, okay? And which we talked about before is the hope and the love and the redemption. And the Bible, which is the Word of God, tells us the hope in Hebrews 6:19. Our hope in Jesus Christ anchors the soul.
Keith, we're
going
to have to make this call 1 second.
Yep.
Whoop. Okay.
I'm sorry about that. There was a call coming in, so I did not mean to interrupt.
Awesome. Could you call back?
Please call back.
I don't know what happened there.
We disconnected the call?
No.
I don't know. We didn't do it at this end. I don't know
anybody
what
on the other line.
We're still learning at this.
There it is. Okay. There it is.
Great.
Hey, welcome, caller. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Jonathan. Or
David. Yay, Alan Love, all the way from Las Vegas.
Wow. Oh,
what are the chances of that?
Well, the reason I'm calling is, unfortunately, I couldn't listen to you the last few minutes because my phone wouldn't allow it talking with Sherry, but you were talking about Hanukkah and Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And being a Messianic Jew, it is a very, very wonderful time for me that both holidays coincide. But it is interesting to me that Jesus did, in fact, celebrate Hanukkah. And what he celebrated was the temple in Jerusalem was cleaned and refurbished by the Maccabees in 2 BC. And the Greek word that the Greeks used was resurrection and renewal. And the Hebrew word Hanukkah actually means renewal. Mm. And so it was the renewal of the temple in
Thank
Jerusalem
you for that.
Wow.
That Jesus celebrated. And another interesting fact from research that I've done is, believe it or not, Hanukkah is never mentioned at all in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
It is only mentioned in the New Testament, John chapter 10, verses 22 and 23, which talks about the cleansing of the temple and the celebration that Jesus participated in, and it shows to me the importance of having a strong faith that that people have to renew themselves. They have to resurrect themselves when they get off the path. And earlier in the show, you were talking about hate and trying to take Christmas out of, really Christ out of Christmas.
Mm.
And to me, that can be overcome by realizing that the most important thing in a person's life is what Jesus was all about.
Yes.
Not hate, love.
Yes.
Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Grace. And when people get off the wrong track, and two examples of that are shown in this country, we had an election in 1980, and we just had an election where the people of faith, the
yes.
people that understood what our founding fathers meant when they gave us the gift of the Constitution. And they gave
yes.
us the gift
yes.
of freedom. Yes. That was so powerful and meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And the people realized that in order to preserve their faith and not allow the devil
yes.
to overtake us, they have mm-hmm. to bond together. And in American history, in the history of the Jewish people, and in the history of the Christian people when they've been persecuted. They bonded together and become stronger. And that, to me, says it all about this Christmas 2024, that 2025 can be a year of renewal, of resurrection, of strength, not only individually, but for the world.
Amen.
Thank you for that.
Alan, thank you for that. That actually nicely presents us how we're going to deal with the last segment of the program after the next break.
Yeah.
Well, I don't want to take more of your airtime. I just felt it was appropriate for me to say these words to you. And as I sign off, I just want to wish my Messianic friends a very happy Hanukkah and a very, very Merry Christmas to everybody.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Merry Christmas to you too, sir.
I'm sure I'll be talking to you before April.
Oh, no doubt.
With you in prayer and share.
And thank you for getting up so much earlier because of your time zone where you live. They're near the edge of the world here, in the edge of the continent anyway. God bless you, brother. We'll talk to you again.
God bless all of you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas.
Amen. You too.
Amen. God bless.
Thank you. So, yeah.
We're going to go to a break.
Okay.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard, inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Hello, this is Luke Lewis.
I'm Tiffany Young, and we're with Treasure Coast Realty Group. Join us every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for our show, Keeping It Real Estate.
We'll cover everything from getting you ready to purchase a home to sharing programs that help with closing costs and tips to sell your home hassle-free.
Plus, we'll dive into local market conditions, have special guests, and take your calls live on the air.
Don't miss this power-packed show to help you achieve your real estate goals. See you then.
Well, back for the last quarter, I guess, of our hour. It's gone by so quickly. We were talking about the war on Christmas, but now we need to be talking about there is hope.
Absolutely. Yeah, so it was interesting. As I was reading my email this morning, I saw in Tablet Magazine, they ran a story 2 days ago called, and this was the headline, Europe is canceling Christmas. So I guess there's moves in France, Spain, United Kingdom, and Germany, that they are looking to renounce Judeo-Christian identity. And it's because of the growing Muslim population. They don't want to offend the growing Muslim population. But
they're offending the Christian population.
But in America, and this is why we're getting to the hope, we're actually going towards a more positive trend. So what we're seeing, and a lot of this also has to do, our caller just talked about, we just had an election. Right?
Yes.
Who just got elected?
President Trump.
And with him not even taking office,
a brother in
yet,
Christ.
We're seeing changes. What we're seeing is a lot of Target, very woke,
Target,
unfortunately.
Yes,
a lot of clothing that reflects different genders, right, and different things. But
that,
they're changing things.
That was an uproar.
They're changing. They're bringing back Merry Christmas clothing. So what we're seeing in America is what they're calling a Christmas Trump effect. And it's not only because of Trump. I don't want to give glory to Trump or only to God, but there's been a shift. there's been a banding of the church coming together, and now we're seeing all these DEI, the diversity, equity, inclusion programs that
right.
is just not good.
Right.
Millions of dollars that have been spent at different universities are falling. Slowly, they're getting repealed, and DEI is slowly leaving. I shouldn't say leaving, but their funding is being cut because right. Trump is going to cut the funding.
Right.
And now we're seeing more of effect going towards instilling Christianity and Christmas into the marketplace. Like we see mm-hmm. it at Target, we're seeing it at different places. This is hope.
This is hope. And you know, right. Last week or the week before, we did bring up Daniel chapter 2, verse 21, where God says he changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises them up. And so just that we can see God's work in front of us, you can't be blind to understand how God is working here. And to bring back Christmas into this country, not for nothing, and this is not political, but what did Kamala Harris say? How dare we say Merry Christmas? How dare we say Merry Christmas? Some of you might be familiar with that when she said that. Yeah. Some of you might not be. But she came out in public and said that at one of her campaign stops.
Yeah, that was back in 2016 or 17, because she was talking about deferred action childhood arrival. So DACA. Do you know what DACA is?
No.
I worked for the government for so long. So they're probably they're trying to legalize children that were not born here, but were born here, but their parents were not.
Right.
So they tried to give them what is called DACA, and she wanted that to pass. And she said, if this doesn't pass, how dare they have a Merry Christmas? But it's awful. It's
so
not
how
about
dare
DACA.
We say it?
Why
because
are you politicizing
they're not
Christmas?
It. Right. They're not having
yeah,
it. So
it was
we
bad.
Can't have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
So that's what they're saying.
Yeah.
Gosh, yeah. That's... Well, I don't want to delve any
deeper
into that thing, but I understand that's part of this very secular view,
right?
You know,
right. But it also, David, goes to show what one side is thinking and what one side is believing,
right.
as opposed to another side and what they want, you know,
yeah.
and what their beliefs are, and we have 10 reasons, and I think I brought that up before, 10 reasons why we celebrate Christmas.
Yeah. Well, and let me get back to what I think is the most fundamental statement that anybody can make about God, okay? Because if there's any one thing that we can say God has done consistently since he made creation, is that he wants his people to see what he has for us, what his plans are for us. You know, that God doesn't change, right? He was always perfect,
right?
He's always been,
right?
He didn't get born and got better. He always is.
Mm-hmm.
So and by the way, I believe that. It's a matter of faith. I can't prove it, and I don't have to, because God will prove it to you for you if you want to know it. So because of that, God consistently continues. When we talk about how he presents himself into creation, is that he is saying, I am here, this is what I'm about, this is why you are here, this is what I want to do for you, what you can only have because of my son coming and dying on the cross for you.
Mm-hmm.
He's the means and only means whereby you and I can spend eternity together.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more to that, but that's the heart of it. Well, God consistently has done that.
And
that's the core of it.
It started with Adam and Eve when
yeah.
he went into the garden and he would walk with them.
Yeah.
And to have relationship with
right.
them.
Right.
And that's the illustration that
there's
we have.
There's a phone call coming in. Welcome, you're on the air, caller.
Good morning. And Merry Christmas Eve.
Good morning, and Merry Christmas Eve to you too, brother.
My wife and I were married about 11 years ago, but I was brought up Jewish and she was brought up a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anything about Jesus or Christmas or anything at all until my wife introduced me to Jesus. And it was actually
wow.
Jesus introducing himself, because when
yeah.
she touched me on the shoulder, and I kind of like felt like I touched a groundwater and shot through me from my head to my toes.
Wow.
Her mother told me that it was the Holy Spirit introducing himself, and I'm like, well, I'm out of here. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
yeah,
sure.
When you're brought up Jewish, you're kind of blind because
right.
we were never taught about Jesus at all.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he was never brought up in Hebrew school or nothing. I mean, you never even heard about him. So it was amazing. My first day at church, and all of a sudden I was accepting the Lord, but at that time, I still didn't know anything about it. I was still getting high. I was still doing my thing. But I met this old man named Pastor Ed, and wow, yeah, he showed me what it's like to be Jewish and be and love Jesus. And it didn't take long, but I started to really get that zeal, and I lost it for a little while, but I got it back.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I can tell that you.
I drive a private taxi, and for an employee, an employer. But I talk about the Lord, and I give out spiritual coins all day, every day, and
wow.
everybody needs the Lord. I hardly get anybody turning me down.
That's really cool, brother. Thank you. And that's
awesome.
A tremendous testimony.
It is.
So I'm going to assume then that you're kind of understanding what we've been talking about. There is a war on Christmas, But you're a warrior, you're a warrior for Christ in this, and you're bringing him.
And we celebrate Hanukkah and Christmas.
Right.
That's
yeah.
good.
Yeah, exactly.
And my wife is lucky because she's going to get a Hanukkah present and a Christmas.
Well, I'm not going to get one of those, but that's all right. But that's cool, bro. That is so cool. Thank you for sharing.
She's really into it, though. She puts on the. She puts on the top of her head. She puts on that. I forgot what it's called. I'm sorry, but she's saying the prayers and everything like that. She really gets into it.
That's
so
good.
Really awesome.
That's cool.
And I helped decorate a tree.
Well, there you go. Well, it's a little crossover there.
I've never done that before. I met my wife.
Wow.
We had a Hanukkah bush. No, well, not a Hanukkah bush, but, you know, we just had menorahs and stuff like that.
Sure.
We had any Christmas tree.
Well, we're almost out of time.
We had Chinese food on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Well,
it was the only place open. Everybody
there you go. Well, I've done that, too. We've had non-traditional because it's basically being together as a family and celebrating.
Family.
Well, we gotta be going off here in a couple of minutes, bro. So thanks
Thank you
for calling. We
sir.
Appreciate it. Be blessed and do have both a Merry Christmas
and Happy
and
Hanukkah.
A Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. Merry anyway,
take care.
Merry
Thank
Christmas,
you,
brother. Bye bye.
God bless.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, God
That's
bless
great.
You.
Yeah, we got a couple of minutes here. We got to wrap this up, and
I mean,
we need to pray. Actually,
we have to pray, and also because we are in a war, which implies that we're fighting. So we have to continue as Christians to stand.
Right.
You know, and
not to become comfortable.
Yeah.
The church got very comfortable. And the church got very comfortable and look what the United
Happened.
States
yeah.
started
yeah.
to look like.
Yeah.
So, you know, once President Trump was elected, to not stop praying, to not stop going out there
yeah.
and we are all warriors. That's why they tell you in Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians.
Spiritual armor.
You are a warrior for Jesus Christ. We are all warriors for Christ.
Right.
And, right, it is up to us and our responsibility to share Jesus for the love that we have for others.
Yes.
So
yeah.
that they do not perish. And that's what it's all about. It's not about an argument. It's about the love of why Jesus came.
Amen.
And that's why we are celebrating Christmas. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen. And we have 15 seconds to pray. And I'm just going to say, God, thank you. You know before we even come to you what you need to bless us with. Bless our nation. Bless the world.
Yes.
With a renewal of the understanding of what Jesus did for us and how. To celebrate that gift in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas,
everyone. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next Tuesday at 11 a.m. for another edition of A Biblical Response. If you have issues of the day you would like us to explore,
email us at WCNO@WCNO.com. In the subject line, write David@abiblicalresponse. Remember, when you are challenged by what you see and hear going on around you, pray and invest in God's Word for guidance.